Hi, my name is Yuri.
Hi, my name is Jenny. Welcome back. It is episode 13. We're right at the very end. Welcome back to the Conscious Cuppa podcast.
Thank you so much for tuning in and walking this wonderful path of imagination from thought to thing. It's absolutely brilliant. Thank you for sharing your stories, your successes. It's been marvellous.
Thank you for your beautiful mugshots and thank you for all your suggestions and questions. Yeah, we've made it to the end of the path.
Yes, we have. We're going to be sharing some of the stories and successes we've had using these tips and techniques, as hopefully you have been at home.
We started this season, season three, with a preview of the roadmap that is we've been walking, that we call the Fibonacci sequence. It's the shape of that spiral. And in this last episode, we're going to be doing a review of that spiral. But as Yuri said, with some tips and tricks and techniques to help you get from the thought to a thing, from wanting it to being it.
Do still contact us because we'd love to see your mugshots. We love to hear your stories, your ideas, your suggestions. You can tweet us at Conscious Cuppa or contact us by emailing us consciouscuppa@gmail.com. That's consciouscuppa.
And if you've missed any of the previous episodes, we're on Anchor FM, but also on YouTube and Spotify. If you love the visuals, check us out there. We've got two previous seasons as well. More than 60 episodes.
Wow.
Yeah. All the links are in the description.
And Bruku, please do stay tuned to the end of the show. We've got our very last Akan Easter egg. Last chance to get yourself some Ghanaian wisdom here.
And somewhere in the middle of the show, we'll do the last of the Neville Nuggets.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that as well. But in the meantime, we invite you to grab this last brew, take that last pew, and let's make the impossible come true.
So, Jenny, what tea have we managed to manifest for our pot today?
Oh my God, it's all the way from India. Fantastic. Courtesy of Amit and Caro.
Thank you so much, Amit and Caro.
Thank you so much.
That is such a blessing to have this tea. So this is masala chai tea.
Saffron masala chai tea. And none of that bog standard saffron either. This is under the counter stuff.
This is a really beautiful blend. We were trying to figure out what this master tea taster has created. He's keeping it a secret.
He's keeping it a secret. It's all a mystery. It's not on the box. Beautiful box as it is, beautiful bag that the box comes in.
Yeah, I do love a box in a bag, I've got to say.
And this is, we've done the traditional recipe, haven't just bunged it into a teapot, added water and waited 5 minutes. This required some boiling of milk, some measuring out of water, some boiling twice, in fact.
Yeah.
And not ordinary cow's milk, sacred cow's milk. This is the sacred
oat milk.
The sacred oat milk. So this is a little bit different, but still tastes really good.
It's really good. And I've not had masala chai with milk before, and I'm a real fan. So I've been having turmeric latte. So it's a similar idea with having it with the milk.
I don't bring turmeric latte into this.
Sorry.
This is sacred stuff here.
Sorry.
It's made it all the way from India, and you've got the cheek to talk about Pret A Manger's turmeric latte.
Oh no, I wasn't talking about Pret.
I
was talking about homemade season two tea, my dear.
Yeah, well, anyway. We hope you've got something wonderful brewed in your cup, in your glass, in your flask.
Cheers.
So here's what we're going to do this episode. We're going to review that spiral, that Fibonacci sequence, that sequence that the bunny rabbits like to use when they're having a few more bunny rabbits. That beautiful pattern that is working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, whether you know it or not. We're going to start at 01, where the idea arrives, and we're going to take you all the way through to the end, 13, where you get the goodies in the physical.
Yeah.
And we wanted to concentrate on two particular areas, but lots more is going to come into that. And one of the areas for me seems to be moving home. I worked out that in the last 20 years, I've moved home 6 times.
Wow.
So that's an average, roughly, of about once every 3 years.
Mm. My two things are finding something I've lost and imagining great relationships.
So we've got moving home, finding a new house. We have finding things that have been lost and having a wonderful relationship.
Yes.
Wonderful. Now, when we do the seminar, we get people to literally walk across a path, take themselves from that 0-1 state all the way to 13. Perhaps in one's mind, you're actually walking this path with us.
Yes.
And 0-1 is, of course, the gift, the idea arriving.
The hope and the dream.
Yes, these are words that we took from the mind map, hope and dream. They seem to summarise this gift, this seed that arrives in response to a feeling of lack or loss or longing.
Yes.
And when that feeling arrives, it's met with this hope, this dream, that actually you can turn this, you can switch this around to something beautiful, something easy, something delightful.
Mm.
That bed feeling.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful ease and delight.
The thing to do now is a lot of axe. You've got to axe this seed. Tell us a bit more about the axe.
So the act is of acknowledgement and acceptance. So once you've got this gift, this idea that's come to you, it's really about saying yes to it. You're meeting it and you're saying, oh, yes, this is great.
You're accepting it as a gift, right?
Yeah.
You're accepting it as a gift. You're acknowledging that it's come to help you.
Yeah.
And then the last act is act now.
Yeah.
So go now, because wherever you want to live or wherever you're going to live with this new house or wherever that thing is that is lost, the person in the relationship, the other half of the relationship, as it were, that you're going to meet, act now because they are in a good position right now to meet you.
The opportunity is live.
The opportunity is live. I like that.
Yeah, the opportunity is definitely live. So it's really about saying yes. It's really about understanding and appreciating that even if you don't remember consciously asking for this gift, that you did and it's yours.
Yeah.
So what's the next step, Jenny?
We've accepted this idea as a gift, acknowledged that this is like a promise.
Yes.
And we're going to act now. So the next thing is still number one, but this variation of one is about entertaining this idea. And the thing that we're doing here is trying to sustain this idea. We're trying to keep it alive because there's lots of ideas that might be coming in. I just want this idea. This is the main idea I need right now. This is the thing that I need to nourish. It's the thing that is most hungry in my life.
So we're really sustaining it here. We're really nourishing it. And we're nourishing it with our attention.
Yeah.
So you've had this idea come to you and now you're like, oh, what would it be like? Oh, this is interesting.
We're keeping it in mind.
Yeah.
And one of the words here besides entertain is play. You're playing with this idea.
Yes.
Later on, we're going to be a bit more constructive around this idea. But right now, you're playing with the idea. You've turned inward to kind of keep the idea with you. Now you're turning it over in your mind. Ooh, this would, this could be nice. This could be good. So what's important here is your energy is life-giving.
Yeah, and that comes from the attention you're giving it. So we know that if you attend to a plant, it grows.
And in this case, the plant is at the seed stage.
Yes.
So it needs to kind of be buried inside you. So what's next? We've got the idea, keeping it alive.
Definitely. So next is number two. This is the house. This is where we accommodate the idea. We've got two words. We've got tribe and contain. The house is containing the idea. And sometimes I think we really talked about the fact that sometimes the house you're in, the tribe you've got,
doesn't like this idea.
Not really on board with this idea. Sometimes you have to interrupt, ignore, and be indifferent. And so this interrupting, ignoring, and indifference is those five husbands we've also talked about.
Your senses are telling you that you can't hear the success. You can't see the success, or you can't see how you can be successful when all of these obstacles seem to be in your way.
At this step, you have some maybe unhelpful beliefs, and people, your tribe may have some unhelpful beliefs, like seeing is believing is an unhelpful belief.
It really is.
Whereas it believing is seeing, it's the other way around.
Yes.
So this is where you have to remind yourself that you arrive before you depart.
A lot of what we are talking about is irrational. Mm. It's not what is commonly accepted. Like you said, seeing is believing rather than believing is seeing.
Yes.
And later on, of course, we've got the whole thing about marriage. First of all, you have to divorce, then you get married. That's the rational thinking. That's what we do in most societies. But the reality is you need to get married before you can get divorced.
Yes.
So there's a bit of a topsy-turvy, upside-down world going on here.
If you do hear anything that's not in line with this new gift, this hope, this dream that you've been given, this is where, in a sense, you would use your sword. So you'd be pruning those thoughts. So you go back to what you do want, this gift. Be playful with it, loving it, enjoying it.
And what we're going to really do is go further from the house, because the house is all these beliefs and ideas we grew up with that says you can and you can't.
Mm.
We can do this, but not that. And what we're going to do is leave that house and go in deeper into our imagination. We're already in the no-thing area here. We're already in the area of the mind. But our mind is that house, and that way that it's been constructed is limiting. So we're going to, in a way, get a refurbishment of the house by going into imagination and asking it to reshape our mind so it can accommodate this new idea of ourselves.
I really like what you say about the mind, because our brains have neural pathways, and really these retreading of beliefs create real strong neural pathways, and what we're doing is taking our attention away so those neural pathways can fade, and we're creating new paths. So
that's right. It's like the roots of a tree. Some of the roots are going to be going to certain places within the earth to get its nutrients, to get its food, just like at number one we talked about nourishment and sustenance. Now we're going to create some new root pathways in the brain that only go to those areas when we need to embody this new idea. The old is going to fade, the new is going to come in. But first of all, we need to leave the house, leave the mind as it is, and go on a new journey, create a new wing of that house. And so we're at number three. At number three, we have the camel. We're going on a quest. We have a question. What is this question?
The question is, what would it be like this day if I was the person I wanted to be, or I had the thing I wanted to have?
This is the holy grail question. I love this question. It's the only thing you really need to do at number three is ask yourself this question. What would it be like if I was now the person I wanted to be? There's no question about how you get to that point. Just what would it be like if it was now I had the thing and I was the person I wanted to be?
And this is very much about being curious. So you've been playful and now you're curious. You're in pursuit of that ideal. This is the ideal version of yourself, or this gift that you've come up with.
We are leaving the house, we're leaving the walls. We're going on a journey further in, and this is going to affect the mind. We're going inside, we're going higher, we're going deeper. And we've been in the territory of one of the pillars of Yakin and Boaz.
Mm.
We've been on one side of the river, of the Red Sea, in a sense. And that one side is, the one side is Yakin, yak, ox, and it's all about the one and only. There's only one source, one cause. We believe on this podcast that is imagination. So that gives us the confidence.
Yes.
But now we're going to move into the territory of love, of Boaz, where we call, using our inner voice, this new beingness, where we call this new thing into existence. That's where we're going to marry the two. And this is where we're at the brink, in a sense, of that new territory, that promised land.
So you're confidently falling in love with this person that you once wanted to be, or with this thing you once wanted to have.
Yes, there's this anticipation as we are about to cross this Red Sea. It's going to open up. We're going to go through. But it's not so linear, because what we typically think that we have to do is get to the place. So if we want the house, we want the new relationship, we want to find the thing that seems to be lost, we think we have to go through a series of events to get to that. Now, that's true on one level, but that's actually later down the road. And of course, if you've been following this through, you'll know that. You'll know that we have to essentially teleport into that new beingness, into that new state of mind, into the person who is holding, having the thing that seemed to be lost.
Mm.
Number five is next. Number five is the number of the window, and it's the feeling of touch. But it's also more to it, because this is where we really start to do the work. At number three, we're starting to do the work of constructing a scene that implies I have what I want. Now I'm jumping straight into that scene and thinking and feeling and moving from that perspective.
Yeah, you're engaged to it. You've embraced it. You have it. You are it. In your imagination, you're ensuring that if it's the marriage you want, you're seeing your ring on your finger. If it's that thing you wanted to find, like in our ball experiment, you're holding it. It's the weight, it's the colour, it's the shape that you'd imagined, and you're returning to that. So here, Jenny, you've got an acronym for us, haven't you?
Let's use the word gifts. We started with 01 as a gift, and this acronym is going to help us remember what we need to do here at number five. G is for gratitude.
If we want to be married, we're grateful for this ring on our finger. We found the thing that we wanted to find, like in our ball experiment.
So at this point in your imaginings, you have what it is. You are what it is. So it makes sense that you're thankful because it's a gift. Of course you're grateful.
Yes, definitely.
Second of all is I for immersion. Be totally into that scene that you've created. Drench yourself. So in your mind, you are completely inside this scene. There's no part of you that's still got a foot in the old scenario.
In a sense, what I'm hearing for the first time is we've been washed. We've washed all this old stuff off us. All these old ideas are gone now. And now I am walking down the road as a married woman. I'm feeling great. I'm telling my friends how wonderful married life is. Or I'm sharing my finding of my ball. I'm so excited.
Yes, and this is a short scene. It doesn't need to be long at all. Just like you get these scenes in movies where literally there's just a few seconds of a shot. Now, it could be that it's just the ring on your finger. It could be the holding of the hand of somebody that you'd love to be with. It could be the new set of keys you have in your hand for your new home. And of course, the thing that you lost, you've got it now. So
this is the F, isn't it? Of this acronym.
So not only the feeling of how you would feel emotionally,
but the actual feeling.
But the actual feeling of the touch of it. So if you're not sure exactly what it is that you want, you still know the feeling of that it would bring you. So even if you don't know the shape and sound and all the rest of that, that your inner senses could tell you what this is like, go with the feeling of gratitude.
Mm.
Go with the feeling emotionally how you would feel relieved. Satisfied, fulfilled. These are feelings that should go with this stage. But remember, this is just the practice stage.
Yeah.
This is the thing that you're going to be going over and over and over, just again, like a movie scene, trying to get it right, trying to get it right, trying to get it right. And thinking from, so this is T, thinking from it, not of it. Place yourself in the first person. You're seeing things from your perspective. Not from anybody else's, and you're not watching yourself over there or over then. This is happening now, and it's just happened. S is for
sleepy. Sleepy is for the moments just before you're going to bed. The sleepy is where you're very receptive. So your conscious mind isn't so on. All that self-talk, maybe that doubt, maybe those things that your tribe said that, oh, it's not possible, blah, blah, blah. They're quiet.
So it's your five husbands as well, isn't it?
Yes, it is, definitely. When your five husbands are quieter, they're sleepy, they're not impressing you, you're impressing yourself. So this is the time where you can really impress yourself with the person you wanted to be.
It's a bit like you're cheating on your five husbands. It's with your real husband, of course, yeah. But it's like they've gone to sleep. So now let's do this while they don't have so much power.
Yeah. So the other time you can use meditation for this as well. That's a really good sleepy moment. So I know, Jenny, you use this while sitting in your chair, don't you? You put yourself into a sleepy kind of mood, feeling. You sit on your chair and you construct a scene. I do it also when I'm waking up in the morning. I like to have a slower waking up now.
Because when you wake up, it's often the time that all your memories of what you don't want start to try to impinge on your morning and set your day up.
Yeah.
You're trying to set your day up with something new while you're in this practice phase.
So after five, we've got this hidden number, four. And so here it's about the door and detachment. We're letting our past fade away. It's gone. We've closed the door behind us and we're now in our new home.
And this is an important order because it's gone 3, 5, 4. What we try to do on the physical in our social consciousness is do 3, 4, 5. We want to get to where we want to be and we try knocking at somebody's door. In fact, maybe tens or hundreds of doors to try and get what we want. This door only opens one way. You have to go to 5 first and then it opens in order to release the old.
So it's like a secret door, really. It reminds me of the secret garden.
Yeah. And it has exit. There's no entrance. Only exit. It only takes things out that you don't need anymore. Because when you're at 5 and you've got what you want, you're imagining that you have it, there's no way that you can work out how you got past all the obstacles and what you had to overcome. They're all behind you. This number 4 is the part of the path where things are left behind.
Anything that I don't want, isn't helpful, isn't useful, is going to go out through this door. But I don't have to take it out. I don't have to do the trash.
You don't have to do anything.
I don't have to do the rubbish anymore.
You, just by having it and being it, you've implied that you've overcome it.
Yes. And that is really, really important, Jenny.
Remember in the Bible when it talks about the camel going through the eye of the needle? This is the eye of the needle. The door is the eye of the needle. And the camel, of course, is number 3. And it feels like it's impossible, but here you have it. And because number 5 is the window, that also implies the eye. But let's carry on. Where are we next? We've got number 8. We cover this in episode 9. It's the fence. And the fence is all to do with...
marriage.
Nice. This is an area of safety. This is an area of connection. This is where the real husband is. You are the wife at this moment, but as you move into number 8, you become that husband. Doesn't matter what gender you class yourself as, we are all the wife, all the husband, all the child. So in this moment, you're becoming the husband and you're going to give yourself a whole new character. This mind is going to be given a whole new character, a whole new shape, a whole new capacity for a new conversation, a new way of being in the world.
So here at 8, you're really feeling natural with your gift. This gift is now part of you. It's who you are. There's no need to practice, reinforce. You're not having to go over and over this in your mind like you had to in order to get to the point where you were comfortable with it. Now you're comfortable with it.
Yeah, you're at ease with it, really, because when you're at 5 and you're practicing, at least the first time you practice it, maybe you're somebody who could just get carried away really quickly, like you used to get carried away, lost in your books that you were reading. You know, if you've got a good story, you are in that story the moment you carry on with the next chapter and the next chapter. But maybe the first time you try to convince yourself that you are the new person you want to be. But by the time you get to 8, you've done it so often in your imagination, You've got so carried away, you've completely forgotten what you used to be like. You're not deceiving yourself anymore. You're not lying to yourself, because that's how it can feel when you first start to try to imagine something new.
And at this stage, those previous husbands, they're gone. There's no chatter in your ear. There's no husbands that are saying, look over here, listen to this gossip, da-da-da-da-da. They're gone. You're married. You've only got one husband. That is you in your own wonderful human imagination.
That spiritual husband, in a sense, has tamed those outer senses.
Yes.
To the extent where when you open your eyes after you've done your imagining, your physical senses are only looking out for the thing that was lost, are only anticipating the new being, the new home that you're going to be with, the new relationship you're going to be in.
Yes.
So that's where the two have become one. There seems to be a conflict. I don't have the thing. It's over there and it's over then. When you get to number eight, the two have become one. That's the marriage. And so there is no conflict. There's no kind of, this is still a little bit over there. It's still a few feet away.
No, it's here and now.
It's here and now, where it was nowhere before. The mind has been changed now.
Yes.
The mind was open further back.
Yep.
Now the mind is changed. And the next stage is the mind being fixed.
Yes. The nail.
The nail. So this is number six. Second hidden number. So we've gone 3, 5, 4, 8, 6. Well, what's really happening is it's kind of turning back in on itself, because this whole thing is an unfolding and you're kind of going round and round, but slightly different in each time you go round. So number six is the nail. This is where we make an impression upon our subconscious, and that impression is going to become an expression. This is the bit where we set ourselves on fire. We got married. It's the honeymoon where we're going to consummate this changed mind. We're going to fix it in place.
Yeah, this is the place of the orgasm. This is the place of the thrill. So yeah, one of the ways that Jenny does this is she sits in her chair to thrill and breathes deeply. And this is something Neville teaches us and has practiced himself. So we'll talk a bit about that a little bit later.
Yeah, we want to go through the various techniques that both of us use when we're going from the thought to a thing. But here in this stage is about making an impact on yourself in the most beautiful way.
So it's not about somebody on the outside being thrilled with you. It's about you being thrilled with yourself in this person that you now are with the thing you once wanted.
And this is very much about the crescendo. You've been going through the motions beforehand at number five. You've really got carried away at number eight. Well, this is the crescendo. This is the zenith. You can't go any further than this.
This is the maximum.
This is the maximum. And then, bam, you explode. And by exploding that thought, you've sent out that frequency we talked about in the last episode.
And that's the magnetism, isn't it?
And now you've created this field. You've generated a field that can only allow into it anything that matches that frequency. Everything else is repelled.
Yeah.
And perhaps this is where the sword comes in.
Yeah.
To keep that boundary, that fence, you know, keep it intact.
Yes.
You can't come in here.
Yeah.
You're not allowed in here.
And there's a disciple, isn't it, that's in line with that, Simon, who says, nah.
We can't hear anything. We don't allow anything in. But there's also the other disciples that have indifference. There's also the disciples that are in a state of gratitude. All the disciples are all your self-disciplines that you're going to need at seven. Because seven is the Sabbath. Seven is in the background of this spiral, this path, where you're pregnant now. You've done the deed. Now you're pregnant. This is all about perseverance, stillness, silence, quiet, and most of all,
peace of mind.
Yeah. Peace of mind. Don't let anything disturb you. It might try, because don't forget your senses are still saying, where's my stuff? Why aren't I such and such? Why aren't I brilliant now? Where's this person that you tried to manifest? So there's still the opportunity while you're pregnant for doubts to get in the way.
Number seven is really a place where you feel assured. This is self-assured. You're assured in your imagination. You're assured in this husband. And this assurance gives you this peace of mind.
Yeah, so you've got the safety that you had at number 8 when you got married. You're behind the fence, you're protected now.
Yeah.
Nothing can get to you except yourself. So it's really important here to stay self-assured.
Mm.
This was promised from the beginning, so keep that in mind as well. When your senses try to convince you that it's taking too long, go back to, this is a promise, this is a gift, it's mine. It's already mine, and I know because I've already touched it.
Yes.
Okay. The last of the hidden numbers are going to be 9 to 12. More waiting, more perseverance, more peace of mind. So your self-disciplines, your disciples really need to help you out here because this is the longest time now. 9 to 12 is the area of transformation.
Yeah.
You're having to wait. The pregnancy is developing. It's growing. But can you hold on?
So this is definitely the caterpillar that's gone into the chrysalis and is transforming into the butterfly.
Things are being woven together. The universe is putting things in place, getting you to maybe go left where you normally go right. Something's going to pop out of the blue because we have to get to 13 yet. This is a period of waiting and there's nothing you can do to hurry up. It's due to come when it's due to come.
Yeah.
With excitement, with anticipation, there is expectation because you're expecting.
But so this is about patience.
So it's about patience, yes.
And I think really at this stage what's happening, you're using this patience really wisely, but at the same time as your patience, you're being aware because you are possibly going to meet this. Like you said, it's going to come out of the blue. So there's going to be some synchronicities happening here. There's going to be some coincidences happening here. And it's just trusting that those things are in line.
And that's, yeah, so that's really important because if you try to go out looking for signs, go out to see where you're supposed to take a left, should I go right? If you do all of that, you're interfering. That is little spanners in the work.
There's little husbands whispering in your ear still.
Yeah, shouldn't have come.
You've got an email.
What's really important is this is going to come out of the blue and you are going to be taken through steps of incidents, through a bridge of incidents that you can't control. You cannot control how it's going to happen. So you're going to have to trust your intuition when it tells you to go now, to put that down, pick that up, go left, go right, take a bus, take the wrong bus,
yes,
leave home late.
Often,
all of that kind of thing is going to be happening.
That weirdness. It is a little weird if you're willing at this stage to go with the flow. If you're in harmony with it, then there is a slight trust. It is a bit weird, but I'm trusting of this, and this has definitely happened to me.
Remember, this is a new configuration, so you will have to do things differently. So trust. Absolutely just trust it.
Yes.
So we've got one more step.
So this is 13. This is where the person you said you wanted to be, the thing that you said you wanted to have, is manifesting on the physical. So you've had it on the spiritual level and now it's manifesting. You're meeting it on the physical level. So you've had that patience and here it is.
So this is like a Dublin, no, Belfast. So this is like you're having this thing again. It's a twice over.
Yeah.
You've had it once in imagination and suddenly out of the blue, you recognize that you are having the moment, the experience you wanted. So often it's not that you meet it over there, you see it and it comes towards you suddenly and slowly.
Mm.
It's more that you're in the middle of doing the thing and you recognise, hold on, this is what I imagined.
Yes.
And so it really comes on you surprisingly, suddenly.
Yeah.
This is what I've done. So what's important here is to recognise your harvest.
Yes.
Don't say, oh, it's because of Bill and John and Tom and Janet that this has happened. They may have played their part.
They may have been part of the steps of your incidents, and you might be really grateful for them to be saying yes to bringing this thing to you, but you did it in your imagination. That is the first and foremost thing to recognise and be grateful for. Wow, I now know that my imagination creates my reality. And guess what? You can test it and see it with anything. You can start with something as small as a glove that you want to manifest on a cold winter's day.
Or a good old cup of coffee.
Yes. To a house, a home, something you've lost that is dear to you. So, or you really, really need. I've had those moments, and I'll talk about those in the story I'll tell. So it's really important to recognize, wow, I did it, because this can be used for everything and anything.
So accepting responsibility, whether the harvest is something that's helpful or unhelpful, lovely or unlovely. What's important in this universe is you learn that you are using your imagination to create your reality. And sometimes that recognition is for things that haven't gone so well. But yeah, I did it. And yes, Janet and John and Tom and Pete were involved too. But I must have manifested this because my imagination has creative power.
And like we say all the way through the podcast, this is happening 24/7, whether you know it or not.
Yes.
So you can either use your imagination consciously to create what you do want, what is helpful, what is loving, or you can just let it carry on riding that Fibonacci sequence that has been these old track records that you've been doing for years, and you'll be at the whims and mercy of other people's imaginings also. Oh my goodness, I don't want to be at the whims and mercy.
Look, it is a nightmare before you decide to wake up. And if it's not a nightmare, maybe you stay asleep. But definitely you and I have wanted to find out, why is my world the way it is?
Yeah.
We've discovered through looking at the Bible and looking at this Fibonacci sequence that we are creating our reality. And this is how we're doing it. But it gives us an opportunity to honour these gifts.
Stop the podcast.
So we've got a Neville nugget each this week.
We've got the last two Neville nuggets on our sheet.
So which one do you want, Jenny? 4 or 9?
9, please.
If you don't feel natural about what you want to be, you will not be it.
There you go.
And that's one of our words, natural.
Natural, it really is. Okay, and what was the other one, number 4? Oh, this is my favourite Neville saying ever. Desire is hidden identity. What I want, I already have. Knowing I have it, it must appear. Desire is hidden identity. What I want, I already have. Knowing I have it, it must appear.
I love it.
What a way to end Neville's nuggets.
Yeah.
Okay. On with the podcast. So we're at the end. We got the prize. We got the goodies.
We are the person we said we wanted to be.
Just started as a thought, came in as a gift, played with that idea. The house said, don't know if we can have that. We ignored that, went on our journey into imagination, opened up the mind, embraced the idea, threw a scene that we created, married that idea, got completely carried away with it, completely forgot who we used to be, and then let it grow. Let it grow into something out on the physical. And here we are. And so we want to go through that, how we've done that personally.
Yeah, how we've...
Our own example. So you want to start with an example of you losing your...
My bank card. The reason I use this example is because before realising that imagination created reality, this was a huge problem for me. So what I had to do was use this amazing technique to find things that I lose, because I've still got the self-concept that I lose things clearly. I was at Jenny's and we were just about to leave. And I looked for my bank card. There's no bank card. Panic set in.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, okay, calm myself. Try and put yourself into this receptive mood. I could hold it but the panic was interfering.
Okay.
So the holding it wasn't a problem, but the panic kept interrupting. Uh-huh. So at that point, I came downstairs and I said to Jenny, I need your help. So I just needed the security, the steadiness of Jenny's practice. While she imagined it, I kind of breathed. I felt calmer. I felt more in tune with having my bank card back. And slowly but surely, what happened was that this certainty that I had my bank card...
That assurance.
Yeah, the assurance really arose through me.
I'm wondering how you felt about that you need your bank card, you want your bank card, you wish for your bank card, you desire it. Therefore, you're going to get your bank card because it must exist somewhere. For it to return to you.
When I held my bank card, I know that bank card is mine. I know that, in a sense, is a pathway into my day as well. Yeah. It must manifest. And even you were surprised with the words that I came out, I need your help. Uh-huh. I need your help.
Yeah.
I was just taken downstairs to ask. It's not something I usually do. This is not part of my usual practice to ask somebody else for help. I think part of that was those five husbands were really nagging the hell out of my ears. So,
what kind of things were they saying?
You're an idiot. You've lost your bank card. Why did you put it in that bag in the first place? Why didn't you put it back where it was meant to be? Now somebody's probably stolen all your money. It's those real horrible nagging old self-concepts that you have.
So this is where, at number two, we need to interrupt those voices. We need to ignore them, be indifferent to them, and be irrational. Yeah, maybe I've lost it, but I can get it back.
Yeah.
I know that this process works.
Yeah.
I trust in this one and only way to find what I've lost.
And so we've had an example of that. Our guest who found her great-grandmother's earring. Yeah, she did lose it. But she still got it back.
Yes.
I think this series has really given me encouragement. It's grounded my practice. And now this final episode is really helping weight my practice with techniques.
Tell us about the technique that you used to find the credit card.
I needed to be able to calm myself enough to quiet those voices. So it was a breathing exercise and a repetition of feeling over and over again that I had this bank card, feeling it in my hand, going over it, but also removing myself from the room, removing myself from the situation, and just interrupting that whole kind of energy that had been going on with the five husbands. The patience that I needed to be able to still myself was really important.
So at number five, we have this touch.
Well, I know exactly what that bank card, what size it is, what shape it is. So it's quite, you know, a bank card is very light, but it's hard. It's kind of quite, not exactly sharp, but it's got a specific feeling against the fingers, like a fingernail almost, if you squeeze it in your hand. And that's
it's got those raised letters as well, doesn't it? A lot of them.
Yeah, I didn't imagine the raised letters. It was really the sides of, because I was holding it in my hand, it was the sides of that card pushing against my fingers that I really felt. You know, this wasn't any bank card at any point in time. The reason it was this bank card is because I had the thrill that I could now go out with confidence.
Yeah.
So I was holding it with the thrill. I could now go out and enjoy my day.
Yes, there's a relief there as well, isn't there?
Yes, there's a huge... That was the feeling. Thank you, Jenny. Yes, it was a feeling of relief. When you've lost something and you find something, that is the feeling that goes with it. Oh, thank goodness. And that was the words, in a sense, that I repeat, oh, thank goodness, holding this, feeling it against my hand.
So let's summarise that. You've lost a thing. You all wanted it is implying that it exists.
Yes.
On this physical level.
Mm.
And then you had to deal with the house telling you, you can't, you mustn't, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
In particular, you can't because you've lost it.
Yeah.
But you having to then get on a journey and go deeper, higher into imagination, and touching that card. You know exactly what it feels like, the size of it. I mean, you use it practically every day.
Yes.
So you know it.
Yeah, and, I know it very
and
well.
And it knows you, yes, in a sense. It knows it belongs to you. Nobody else should be using that card. So it knows you. And if you can put your hands on it, that is proof enough in your imagination that it exists.
Mm.
Now you have to take yourself to a point of gratitude and assurance and let it go.
Yeah.
Let go of the whole thing. Let go of the idea it's lost and let go of the idea that it's going to be difficult to get it back.
And it's interesting, I actually left the room to do that.
Uh-huh.
So that is something I'm going to take away today, that sometimes you have to remove yourself from the situation that keeps reminding yourself.
Yes.
To be able to have this stillness and confidence. Yes. So leaving, going downstairs and then just taking a breath of fresh air, just taking a moment was really helpful, yeah. And then, of course, the thrill came when you handed it to me and I was so thankful.
Again?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you've done the thanks already in your imagination, yeah, because you've got the card. And then you have a second thrill because you've got the card. When I'm trying to find something for somebody, I always got this thing, well, it must exist. It doesn't have legs. It can't walk. So it's got to be somewhere in the house. It's got to be somewhere. And then just concentrate, for me, just concentrate on holding the thing and get them to describe what it is, how big it is. And then I can imagine holding that. If it's a book, I kind of know the weight of a book, the size of the book, the colour of the book. So I'm already telling my senses what to expect.
Mm.
And if I don't find it, and sometimes I think, God, don't always find something, let other people find it. So what I can imagine is somebody saying, I found it.
Yeah.
And then I imagine their voice saying,
I found it.
Then I don't have to always be the one that comes up with the goods, but I can help another person find it.
And this is Yakin and Boaz. This is the confidence you have the thing that you once imagined.
Yeah.
And it's the love, because if you're doing it for somebody else or yourself, it's helpful and loving.
You're calling that thing into existence through love.
Yes.
Because it's a gift. And gifts aren't really gifts if it's not painted with love.
Yes.
So I can imagine somebody else saying, I found it. But I think in this particular circumstance, I knew you a little bit rattled.
Yeah, I was a little bit rattled because those husbands were having a field day.
They were a bit naughty.
So my technique here is, if your husbands are having a field day with you, remove yourself. Interrupt that. Go somewhere else. And if you have to get some help, make sure that person is an advocate for you.
I know that Neville Goddard used to essentially have sessions where people would phone him up or write to him and ask him to imagine for them.
Mm.
Because they're too in the situation, they're too overwhelmed by the problem to be able to give themselves space and silence and stillness to imagine otherwise. So you can, of course, imagine for other people.
Yeah. And another thing that I would say that I have used to give myself confidence when I'm feeling a little bit rattled is go back and listen to Neville's lectures.
Uh-huh.
Because they do really fill me with joy and confidence. So
yeah,
if I am imagining something and these husbands are giving me a hard time,
yeah,
I will go to a Neville lecture. Not necessarily to remind me or reaffirm the practices, but there's something about his voice that is very calming, very reassuring. And of course, he's talking about stuff that I believe in. So he is very much like this best friend that
yes,
you have.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. So if you've lost something, put your hands on it, have the confidence and persevere. I'm going to talk about one of these moves that I've had. I've had these 6 moves in the last 20 years. That's incredible.
You really have used it as good practice, haven't you, Jenny? And I think that's partly why you're sharing this wonderful story with the audience. You've so embraced it.
One of the first things before I knew imagining created reality was to recognise that I've never been homeless.
Yes.
There's always been a home for me. So even if it's a small home or a large home, I've never had to worry about there being a roof over my head. And for the most part, all of us are that.
Yeah.
What we're talking about here is trying to find the home that you really want, rather than the one that you have to live in.
Yes, yeah.
So if you've got a desire for a new home, a new house, if you have to move home, we're going to talk now about a technique that I use to bring that new home to me. Because you are magnetizing things towards you.
Yes.
You're not going over there and you're not going over then. You're bringing things to you where you are, here and now. My landlady needed her daughter to move back into the house.
Yeah.
She had been alone. Her son had died some years before. It was just time. And at first I was a bit annoyed. Now I'm going to have to uproot again and I'm going to have to find another place. And I've got a deadline for that. You know, I've got to move out by this time. It's a bit of a headache. That's what I was thinking. But we know it's a gift. So the more I'm doing this, the more I'm realizing, hold on, this should mean that there's a place that is perfect for me, waiting for me.
Yeah.
And it's just that the landlady has given me a bit of a...
A push.
A push. A boot to say, go and move to an even nicer place.
In fact, it's almost an encouragement. You didn't quite realise that you wanted to move beforehand. And then this place comes available. And then, oh, up arises. Because you talked very much where you used to live about the garden and how beautiful you love looking out onto green flora.
Yeah, so the place where I was living had all these back gardens. And I used to love that, sitting there and drinking my coffee every morning. And I thought, well, it'd be so nice to continue to have that in my new place. This is the bit of the imagining I'm going to use. So that I wanted a new place. I didn't know where it was going to be. I just knew it was going to have somewhere that I can sit in my chair and drink my coffee and have a lovely scene.
Mm.
I would sit in that chair and I would imagine, without having to close my eyes, that I'm seeing green. But not the green I'm seeing.
Mm.
I'm seeing a different kind of green.
Yeah.
But it's still green. Mm. And I'm still in my chair. So that's one of the first things I would do.
Because that feeling when you're sitting and looking out on something, like with the card, it's a different feeling. So when you look out on this green, it's a very specific feeling of feeling renewed. It's a new type of green.
Yeah, so I know that it's new. I know that I've been given this gift. Mm. And so the next thing I would add is when I'm walking down the street, I would look at the pavement, which might imply that, you know, I'm looking down, but I'm actually looking up in the sense that I would imagine that I'm walking on totally new streets, that these pavements belong to a different part of London from where I am. So I pretend I was in a different part of London and I'm walking home or I'm walking to the shops and this is my new route.
Yeah.
The third thing I would do is when I'm on public transport is I would start to believe that the train I'm on or the bus I'm on is not the train or the bus I'm on. It's on a different bus. It's on a different train. So I'd be doing all of this with my eyes open. But what I would be doing is pretending that I am where I'm not. In the same way that you right now you could imagine it's a Tuesday, although it's a Wednesday. Yes. Right now you can imagine it's 2030, not 2022. You can imagine that it's these other things without having to close your eyes.
Mm.
I can imagine this is my house when it's not. I can imagine I'm in Italy when I'm not. I can imagine all these things with my eyes open. But the last thing I did do, which is something that Neville teaches and what we mentioned earlier, is just before I go to bed, I would pretend that I'm sleeping in my new bed, in my new house, in the new town, with my new neighbours, or my new housemates, my new landlady. And the feeling would be one of joy and gratitude. And when I close my eyes, I'm on a different pillow. I mean, maybe the same pillow, but now it's in a different room.
Mm.
So again, you shut out the world, which is you dismissing what seems to be the house that you seem to be in and placing instead the house that you want to be in.
I'd like to add something, Jenny, which is a technique that also Neville encourages us to use, and I've used it. So sometimes when I do want to sleep somewhere new or there's something that isn't different enough about my situation that I've been practicing imagining something over and over. So I move my pillow to the other end of the bed.
Oh, yes.
And there's something really magical about that because it physically gives you a different sensation.
Yes.
I also find that really works if I'm sleeping at somebody else's house or I'm away and I'm sleeping in bed. So there's something about the quality of that change that really helps me ground myself in the imagination. My bed's really cozy, so I can go to sleep a little bit too quickly. But if I'm in a different position, it gives me a little bit more time to use my imagination to really sink myself into that.
It also means when you wake up in the morning that you're slightly disorientated from your norm. You can't quite go through the same sequence of events as you wake up. There's a bit of a shock going on there.
Yeah.
Now, I want to talk about that little bit of a shock, because it's an important part of this confidence in imagination to bring you what you've desired, what you have imagined is fulfilled. It's called the positron. We've mentioned it before.
Yeah.
This goes back to 1949, I believe. Richard Feynman, doesn't matter, blah, 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 blah. The mystics have been doing this forever. He managed to prove it in 1967 and got the Nobel Prize for that. The positron is a wrong way electron. It goes back in time and brings you to where it's never been before. I'm misquoting it. I'm going to put it in the description or give you a link for it. It's a wonderful bit of spiritual tech. It basically means that you can change the past. I'll say that again. It means that you can change the past. And if it sounds impossible, well, science has also agreed with it, finally. So that you can have the confidence, it doesn't matter what has gone before. The desire is telling you that this is promised to you. If you'll go along with it. If you'll happily accept the gift. And the positron will do its part of the work and go back in time and change the past in order for you to have what you want. And what you want is what the universe wants for you. So don't feel guilty about that either. But the bit of the shock part is, sometimes when you in your imagination, you're in a meditative state, and you've imagined and you've got carried away at number 8, and you've forgotten completely what life used to be like, and you're imagining maybe you're on a beach somewhere, or you're in your new house, you've found the thing that was lost, or you're in a new relationship, and then you open your eyes and you're back in, you know, where you were when you closed your eyes. So you get a shock because you're not on the beach. You're not in the new house. You're not in the new relationship. The thing you lost is still nowhere to be found. Now that shock is where the positron starts to do its work. That shock is kind of like a jolt.
A magnetic pulse that sends it off.
Send things on a new timeline. The main thing I wanted to say about the positron is that it has this capacity to change the past. Or rather, you have the capacity to change the past. So don't give up on these ideas that seem impossible. They're not. So to continue and finish the story, I'm sitting on my chair at a new scene in my imagination. I'm walking different streets in my imagination. I'm sitting on different transport links in my imagination. And when I go to sleep, I'm closing my eyes as if I'm now in this new house, this new home. And then I'm compelled to look on certain sites, look in certain newspapers, ask certain people, and the bridge of incidents is being walked. Out of the blue, all of a sudden, in my case, I'm putting filters in spareroom.co.uk, great website, and it's throwing back a couple of things that are not the area that I'm looking for. So, of course, I'm intrigued. Why is it throwing this up? I did not put these areas in. And, of course, there's one of these options that, from the pictures, is green. There's a massive 11-foot window and there's green outside of this window. And I'm just like, oh my God, I think that's it. I write a message to the landlady, and the next day I'm sitting at her dinner table having dinner with her and her son, and it feels natural. It feels normal to be there.
Yes.
But a bit, going back a little bit, the perseverance, because she had her phone off, or rather she had her phone on silent when I'm trying to find where I've got to go to come and meet
the
them for dinner.
Yeah, the exact address, yeah.
You know, I've got the rough area, I've got the rough estate, I've got the rough part of that estate, but I don't know exactly which house it is. And she's not answering her phone, but I'm persevering because I like what I saw. And also the Bridge of Incidents is taking me, it's compelling me, go down this street, go to this part of the area. And so I end up going around the back of the house. I didn't know it was their house, but I looked through the window and I saw her and her son cooking the dinner I'm about to eat. And I look upstairs and I see they've got a Darth Vader mask on the wall. So I now know where it is. This is judging from the pictures.
Mm.
I go around and I knock on the door and they open and they said, "How did you find it?" And I said, "I used the Force." And of course, her son just loved that bit. And it warmed me to them and them to myself.
Yeah.
But all of this is kind of just unfolding naturally now because I've already placed myself at a window that has all the green. And that green is a park, it turns out. It's a park with a river right there. So I've gone beyond the back gardens of my neighbours to nature, a river, the birds, the squirrels, the people walking their dogs. It's just a beautiful scene to wake up to and have my coffee every morning.
And of course, you got more than you imagined as well. Not only did you get a green exterior, but you got walks that you wanted to go on. You got peace and quiet. What I want to say to the listeners and remind myself of is that when you imagine something, you often get more than you imagined.
Well, you're definitely told in the Bible that it's going to be full to the brim, pushed down and overflowing.
Yes.
So you always get more. And this could be bad stuff as well. But you always get more than you ask for. So again, be careful what you're asking for. Be careful what you're imagining. Be careful how you're shaping things that are going to have to come to fruition at some point. We've both told our stories and we'd love you to share your stories because it's encouraging.
Yes.
It encourages other people who think, well, my situation is different. Your situation definitely is different, but these principles, these laws do not change.
No, they don't.
If you have a desire, then the possibility of the desire is promised to you. It's no longer a possibility, actually. It's a probability. And if you follow it through, it will be an actuality. What could be more beautiful than that?
Yeah, you can use this to help the people that you work with, that you love, that are in your tribe. I had a client that was struggling with the relationship she had with her son. So she had a very old conversation on repeat. What I helped her do was repeat a new conversation, something that she did want. And I imagined her coming to me and telling me that she's so delighted with her son. And actually, that happened on exam day. She had this rhetoric that he wasn't, he couldn't, he refused to. And I just kept reminding her that she loves her son, that what she really wants to hear is he is achieving, because that's what we want for our children. And she phoned me up to give me the happy news that he'd got into college and that he'd got the grades he needed in order to do that. She was just so thrilled. She said thank you to me, just as I'd imagined in my imagination. Thank you for reaffirming the positive, reminding me to have faith. And of course, the little bit she didn't know was, of course, I'm also doing that. I'm imagining that conversation with her. I'm imagining that phone call that says thank you. I'm so happy with my son.
Yeah, it's just, again, like we said, that with Neville, that people would come to him to imagine for them because they're feeling too overwhelmed by the situation themselves. And in this case, with your client, she may teeter back and forth between, he's good, oh God, he's good, oh my God. But you can stay completely focused on the fact that you got this phone call because you heard it. And what you hear makes you smile, gives your heart a lift, makes you feel that delight. And it's easy. It doesn't have to be a struggle.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful because it has this wonderful promise, this Yakin and Boaz, that is a guarantee, that is a promise. And I've had this with my artwork as well. I'm starting to do some artwork and it's not quite right. Okay, what would the person say if it was perfect for them? Stick with that. And that alone is going to bring the artwork around that would make that person feel it's perfect. So you don't have to do much. You don't have to try and convince other people that this works. It's lovely when people you tell about it are as thrilled as you are.
Yeah.
But if they don't believe it, don't let it affect your belief. It still works. If you want that for that person, if it fits the golden rule, believe it for them. Believe it on their behalf and enjoy listening to them say how wonderful this was. Because at the end of the day, we're all one. And that person is you. Just a slight remix, but it's you.
And we want to say congratulations to one of our listeners who has achieved moving in to their brand new home as well. And it is quite a magnificent home. The feeling of them in that home is lovely. So, yeah, thanks for inviting us to celebrate your new home and the imagination that you used to create that home.
There's a lady in the audience.
Exactly.
So there's always going to be people out there who need a new home. That goes without saying. We move from place to place. Hopefully you're going to move out of your parents' place at some point. Use this technique. If you've lost something, use the techniques you've heard about. Or find your own way. But the way has already been set. Okay, so one last roundup of technique rather than tips now. 01, you're turning in. You turn to imagination straight away. Don't hesitate. 1.
You play. Play with the gift that you've been given.
Play with the idea.
Yes.
Yes. 2, dismiss any thoughts that this isn't possible, this can't, shouldn't, mustn't be.
So 3, call it with love. Ask that question. What would it be like today if you were the person you wanted to be or you had the thing you once wanted?
Then teleport. Go straight deeper, higher into your imagination to feel from the idea. Construct a scene that is like a dream.
So hold it and feel it, be it.
Remember gifts.
So 8, you're completely carried away, you're lost in it, and you're forgetting what was.
And finally, after all the hidden numbers have been treated with the most patience, out of the blue, you're going to meet the gift, and the gift is going to meet you. And if you've imagined for somebody else, you're going to hear good news. What could be better? Oh, it's a sad but wonderful moment that we come to now to say thank you for listening and goodbye until the next season.
We're really looking forward to bringing some new ideas to the table.
Definitely got some ideas.
Yeah, we've got some tasty treats and tasty ideas. Yeah. So watch this space.
And more guests, I think.
Definitely.
They've been enjoying having the guests on. So.
Yeah, and they've really been enjoying coming on and sharing their stories. And this is very much an important part of the show, to share our stories and your stories.
So get onto Twitter. And if not Twitter, email. Twitter is @ConsciousCuppa. Email is consciouscuppa@gmail.com. That is consciouscuppa. Don't forget your beautiful mugshots. Love those ones too. Brew Crew, thanks for holding on there right to the very, 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 very
end of season 3.
Wow, and we've got one more Akan Easter egg for you, one more bit of Ghanaian wisdom for you to take away with. Cogitate, mull over, ponder and wonder until we get back to season 4. And Yuri, you are going to pick out of these last of the huge lollipop sticks. What have we got?
This is a carnival looking lollipop stick, I've got to say. It's the right colours. Oh, this is part of what we've been talking about today.
Okay.
Patience is good, but hard to practice.
Make it easy.
Yeah.
Be bed about it. Go back to bed. Beauty, ease and delight. Yeah. That's the practice.
I'm taking patience to
that's
bed.
The, no, no, that's the practice.
Yeah.
Be patient with your beauty, your ease and your delight. Just practice that.
Yeah.
Okay. Goodbye.
See you next season.